It's nice to hear such a happy crowd, like you're enjoying each other and fellowshipping with one another. It's good to be in God's house. We're glad you're here. Those that are visiting, we pray that you'll receive a special blessing as we worship the Lord together. Those that might be on the website later or out in the parking lot, again, you're welcome as well. It's a good day to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
And every day that we get to be with the Lord and with our fellow believers, it's a good day. Let's pray together. Father, it's great to be in your presence. It's even better to be in your presence, along with the presence of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, we know that this is just a prelude to the happy time that eternity is going to be. When all the generations of all the saved, of all the ages, from all over the world, join together, and what a happy, happy time we'll have. Reminded of the little song, "Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." Lord, today we're so glad that you're here. We tune our ears toward heaven to hear what you have to say to your people. Whether you say it through a prayer or a song or through the message. But Father, we just want to tell you we love you. We worship you, we praise you. And you're most welcome here in your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Is everybody ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Better be. We better be. I don't believe I've ever seen it get here any quicker. Now, when I was a kid, it took forever. But I don't believe I've ever seen it get here any quicker. But it is good to be here. It's good to see you all here. And good to hear you happy. I love that. I love that. Let's sing a Christmas song for our hymn sing this morning. It's the birthday of a king, and that's page 102. And Kathy's shaking her head. Yeah, you got it right. I'm surprised. I really am. Birthday of a king. Let's all stand and sing together, please.
Star.
Well, I have some announcements I want to share with you at this point. It's busy, busy time. I don't have to tell you that, but you know that. Anyway, first thing I want to do is I want to ask you to please remember this for next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're asking you, if you would please, to honor our pastor with a love offering for Christmas. So we want to do that for him. We normally do it every year, and we want to do it again. So just remember, next Sunday, as we leave, we'll be giving an offering to our pastor for Christmas, okay? Lottie Moon Christmas offering. As we continue to look at it and remember it, the Lottie Moon offering, we're still... Brenda, where are we right now? I'm sorry?
1,045.
1,045. That's good. That's wonderful. That's moving right along. I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen a church that responds to helping people any better than this one. And I don't believe I have. And thank you so much for that. Christmas card directory. Now, Christmas cards. If you haven't got your Christmas cards in by the next Wednesday night, you've got to be here by the 18th. And go back here where the little church is, right in the middle of the little hallway there, going into the new building there, you'll see the box to the left there. Drop your Christmas cards in there, and then what you do then is take the money that you would normally have spent for stamps and put that money inside that little church there, and that'll all go to the Lottie Moon. All goes to the Lottie Moon. So, all right, so that's just remember to do that. And that way you'll have a bunch of cards. You get home, and you can put them all over the doors and all the way. It's what we do at home every year. So it's nice to look at. There certainly is beautiful messages to each one. Okay. Youth Children Christmas Program. And boy, now, Kathy, we're going to get busy tonight, aren't we? Tonight, and the choir has to be here tonight as well.
The choir just needs to come toward the end at about 5:45.
About 5:45? Okay. Choir, so you be here at 5:45, and we'll be ready to do what we can to help out. I'm looking forward to it, and I had the children back here in the back today, and they were we were looking and said, what a great time it's going to be able to see that. And they were telling me what parts they had in the play, and I think that's so nice. Looking forward to it tonight. So I'll be here tonight for rehearsal. Okay, Christmas luminaries. If you have not got your luminaries in, Kathy, what's the deadline on that?
Wednesday as well.
Okay. So if you don't have your luminaries, the money in for the luminaries yet, let me explain to how that's going to work. They're going to be luminaries will be displayed the night of the play, and so be sure that you have them and you put your money in that. What you donate, no charge, but put your donation in there for the luminaries and along with the person that you're honoring, persons that you're honoring. You need to have that, don't you?
They need to be written on the sheet.
Okay. Well, you know, special sheet. I know that you put a special sheet. What I did, I'd put my money in an envelope, and then I did a special sheet to go to you. So that would be nice if you do that. Brenda, did that work? Did it work, Brenda? All right. Whew, I'm glad I got it right. Leave it up to me. I'll find a way. So anyway, so that's wonderful. I'm glad it worked out. So do that. Remember the luminaries and the honorariums, okay? Okay, and then also, when all else fails, go to December at a Glance. And that's the neatest thing in your bulletin that you will be looking at. December in a Glance, and if you'll do that, you'll be just fine. So I feel sure that there's something I have forgotten this morning. So anywhere?
The 21st at yeah. 4 o'clock. Anybody that can come help make the gift bags to give out the night of the play, sorting Christmas cards, and preparing the stage, that's here on December 21st.
Yeah, yeah.
But anybody that can come help us for a little bit, we would really appreciate that.
Yep. I think the deacons are planning to be here to help with the bags, and so we're going to do that too. So, all right. Anyone else? 21st, okay. All right. If there's no more announcements, then let's go to our prayer request. I have a couple that have been given to me already. Dina Honeycutt, Dina, our neighbor over here on the hill, she fell and has broken a leg, and so then we need to keep Dina. We need to keep Dina in our prayers. Angie's father, I think Angie, he's moved to a different location, and we need to keep him in our prayers.
Yeah, Tuesday he's moving to Meadow View Terrace in Waysboro, which is assisted living, so we're all elated. So just keep him in your prayers.
Okay.
And I thank everybody for the prayers and calls and concerns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lionel, you, can you bring us up to date? Or is your son-in-law, the son-in-law, your son-in-law? Okay. All right. Okay. That's right. We'll do. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll keep praying. Keep praying. Okay. James Carpenter. Okay. Anyone else?
Leonard.
Yes.
We need to continue to remember those in the mountains. I read yesterday where there's still a lot of people going to spend Christmas in tents. I can tell you that we donated to the Backpack Ministry again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw that on the news the other day. I did see a line of RVs that are being lined up and bringing in to them, finally getting to them where they can get out of those tents, a lot of them. So I can't imagine how hard that would be. I mean, to me, you know, roughing it to me is when the shower head doesn't work. I mean, you know, so I can't imagine just how bad that could be. But we need to pray. And you're exactly right, Jeff. Thank you for remembering that. Okay, anyone else? Mike and Vivian, okay. All right. Okay, let's remember our nation too. As we're getting ready for transition, we need to keep that in our nation, our prayers. Okay, let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for an opportunity we can come before you today in your church, in this assembly, where everyone has come together with one mind and one accord, and that is to witness to you and to worship you. Lord, we thank you for being the awesome God that you are, a God, Lord, that we can come to and we can ask you for help. And also on behalf of the needy, we can come to you. But again, Lord, let me first thank you. Thank you so much for what you've already done for us. Thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season that we can focus, Lord, on the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. Thank you for our group of people, Lord, and our youth leaders, Lord, who have prepared this the play for us this year. We thank you for the young children of this church, the young people of this church, and their willingness to take part. Thank you for all those who are having part in it as well. We pray a special blessing upon it. And then, Lord, we ask again, continue a special blessing upon Pastor Ed as he comes and as he worships and witnesses to us through the sermon each and every week. We pray for him. But then, Lord, as we specifically do each and every time, Lord, we try our very best to specifically mention those who have been asked to be remembered and who have been asked to bring their petitions to you. So, Lord, we pray for Dina Honeycutt today. Lord, we lift her up to you as she has fallen and broken her leg. And we pray for Angie's dad as he is in a new location. And we pray for him for strength and for peace and for patience. All the things he'll need as he gets set. Continue to pray for Lionel's son-in-law, Lord. We continue to lift him up to you. We know he's in your hands. We pray for James Carpenter. We lift him up to you today and pray for him. All those in Western North Carolina, Lord, are still hurting, which is a lot of people. But Lord, it's not too big for you. And Lord, we thank you for those who've already responded to the many, many ministries that are on the ground there. And we thank you for them, and we pray for continued blessings for them. We lift up Mike and Vivian Austin to you today, Lord, and we pray for them, for their strength and for their healing. And then, Lord, as our nation, as we get ready to transition into new leadership, Lord, we pray for it, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for all our leaders. You've asked us and made sure, Lord, that we do pray, from the ones in our government here locally and all the way up to the White House, Lord. We lift them up to you and we pray for them. Thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for your beautiful Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we make this prayer. Amen. All right, choir, if you would please come. And we've got a Christmas song, and this is for Eve Ann. Eve Ann comes to me each and every Christmas season, and she says, Leonard, I don't know how many songs you've planned for this season, but whatever you've got planned, I'd like for you to sing this song for me. And so we're going to do that. There are books up here somewhere. And Evan, what's the name of the song we're going to sing? We're going to sing Beautiful Star of Bethlehem for Evan. And I'm just going to slide in beside the choir members. And I won't need it because I don't need opening. I'm just about to fall right there. So I better get on over here. But don't, I'm going to be needing the prayer next, okay?
What page?
On page 15. And thank you for Jeff putting the words up. We can use, if you want to put them up there, we can see when it's on. We're going to need them. We got the books. The same as the book. Don't worry about it. We got it.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to slide over here for a second. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem for Eva and all those who love her.
Beautiful Star.
Yeah.
Y'all did great. Appreciate that. Appreciate. Yeah, they did great. Let me start this morning by giving you a little thought-provoking, maybe, example. And you'll understand later when we get into the scripture. There's at least four little ones in the service this morning. There were two that just toddled out, and there's two back there in the in somebody's arms. Now, if we had those four kids up here in front, and I ask you, what are they going to be? How many of you would say, oh, this one's going to be a lawyer, and this is going to be a teacher, and this is going to be a stay-at-home mom, and this one's going to be a doctor, or this one's going to be a businessman or whatever? How many of us would begin to prophesy over what one of those kids would become? It's interesting. In my own personal life, I have the newsletter from West Alabama Baptist Church. When I accepted the Lord, and well, I had accepted the Lord earlier, but when I walked the aisle as a 9-year-old. And the person that wrote the newsletter said some nice things about me, and then they said, who knows, he may be another Billy Graham. Now, this lady picked me out to be a preacher when I was 9 years old. Now, I don't know about that. I never have achieved Billy Graham status. I have preached in Brazil and Honduras, but not the rest of the world. And maybe 500 people is the most I've ever preached to, not 12, 15, 20, 25,000. But that's interesting. When you think about the life of Jesus, it's very easy to see why many people came to believe in him. For example, he healed the sick, and it didn't matter what disease they had, he just healed them. He cast out demons, and it didn't matter whether there's one demon or thousands of demons, he cast them out. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 with just a few loaves. So it's very awesome when you look, okay, this guy comes to our community and he does all of these things. He's bound to be somebody special. Now you just think about when Nicodemus came to Jesus, here's what he had to say about it. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And then over in a little further in the Gospel of John, the man that Jesus healed that had been born blind, and you know the Pharisees, the religious leaders gave him a real tough time about who healed you and how he healed you, and over and over again, trying to make the man out a liar and all of that kind of stuff. And this man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You see, a lot of people came to believe in Jesus because of the things that he did. Now, our main scripture this morning is right after your Sunday school lesson. It's in Luke 2. Beginning at 21, Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken unto him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many of Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her and husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served the Lord with fastings and prayers day and night. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple as a baby to do all of the rituals that were required of a newborn. And as they walk into the temple grounds, they encounter a guy named Simeon. And then later, a lady named Anna. I noticed something. Neither one of these ever saw a miracle. Never saw thousands fed. They never saw anybody raised from the dead. They simply saw a baby. A little bit of baby, just like I used the illustration a few moments ago. A little baby. And yet they knew. Simeon knew in his heart this was the Savior. This was the Messiah. And so also did Anna. She knew. They knew without a doubt who Jesus was. They didn't see a miracle, but they knew who Jesus was. Paul, in his list of spiritual gifts, talks about the gift of knowledge, a spiritual gift of knowledge. That's when you know something that you have no way of knowing. You just know that you know that you know, and God has revealed to you that which you could not know any other way. How would they know that this was the Messiah unless God revealed it to them? How would they know that Jesus was special unless God opened their understanding to know that about him? Now, notice some things. Simeon, so many things that said in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Even then he prophesied, Jesus is not just for the whole world. He's not just for the Jews. He's for the whole world. I mean, you know, the Jews were pretty much closed society. Now, a non-Jew could get in and become a proselyte and become a member of the group. But to say, here comes a Savior for the whole world. A Savior for the whole world. Notice also, he prophesied Mary's heart would be broken. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. He prophesied that Mary would one day stand before a cross and watch her son die. And you know, as a parent, nothing hurts worse than something to hurt one of your kids or one of your grandkids. Can you imagine knowing how good and wonderful Jesus was for Mary to stand before that cross and watch him die? Simeon prophesied that many years before. He prophesied many would be saved. The rising and fall again of many in Israel, which means he said many would be saved and many would reject Jesus. Simeon prophesied it all. Now, how did they know? They could only have known if God revealed it to them. It's the only way they could have known. Now, we have to be careful and not put God in a box and say, God always speaks this way. He can only speak this way. Because that's not true. God can speak a lot of ways. I told this the other week, and somebody got a laugh. I think maybe I told it on Wednesday night or in church training. But anyway, this guy that got saved, he was probably around 20. He didn't have a church background, and he's trying to learn, and the Lord had called him to preach. And so he goes to a person that he hopes will help him, says, how do you learn and know when God speaks to you? And the guy said, are you a member of our denomination? He said, well, no. He said, well, forget it. He says, God only speaks to us. God only speaks to my denomination. Not true. But here was a pastor with the arrogance to say, if you're not one of us, God doesn't speak to you. So you can't put God in a box. You think about, you remember God spoke through a donkey? Some rebellious prophet, and God used a donkey, and the donkey spoke? You remember God spoke to that, in the book of Daniel, to that wicked king Nebuchadnezzar? And God spoke to a guy named Saul on the road to Damascus. A Jesus-hating, Christian-destroying person, God spoke to him. So we need to be careful not to put God in a box and say, well, now, you know, God only speaks to certain people or God speaks in a certain way. However, the truth of the matter is that God speaks most often to those who are listening. Those who are seeking him. Those who desire to know him. You remember over in the Beatitudes when Jesus was teaching, he said things like this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus speaks most often to those who are listening, those who have a heart. Now, go back for a moment and think about what it says about Simeon and Anna. Verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here was a man whose heart was for God. He was a just man. He was a devout man. He was a godly man. He was a man who had an encounter with the Spirit of God. He was special. Notice how it said about Anna, a prophetess. And she served God with fastings and prayers night and day and departed not from the temple. Her heart was for God. Both of these people had an undivided heart, an undivided focus. And that focus was on God. Now they had to be normal in the sense that they would have had to bathe and eat and do other things. But even though they were normal people, the focus of their life was upon God. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will love one and hate the other, or love this one and hate this one. He said, you can't. And the Bible says the man who's double-minded in all his ways doesn't receive anything from God. Now the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. That means God loves you just as much as he loved the Apostle Peter. He loves you just as much as he loved the Apostle Paul. He loves you just as much as he loved Billy Graham. He loves you just as much as he loved anybody else. As far as God's concerned, there aren't any second-class citizens as far as his love and forgiveness, his grace, and his mercy. He wants to bestow all of that on all of us. The good news is, God also wants to open himself up and reveal himself to you and to me, just like he did these folks. The more you have a heart for God, the more you seek the Lord, the closer you walk with the Lord, the more clearly you can see. I thought about it this way. You know, my cars sit outside, and if I forget to put one of those coverings over the windshield on some of these really cold nights, I go out the next morning and there's ice all over my windshield. And I get in the car and you can't see a thing. And so I crank it up, I turn on the defroster as high as it'll go, and I sit there. Many of you have done the same thing. And in a little bit, there's a little bitty place over here where it's blowing, and it's defrosted. And I guess I could, if I wanted to drive like this, I could look out of that thing and drive. It wouldn't be safe, and it wouldn't be legal. But if I sit there long enough, that defroster is slowly going to clear that windshield, and I can see. So it is with us. We grow up not knowing all the Bible. We get saved not knowing everything. But the more we have a heart focused on the Lord, the more he enjoys opening up and revealing himself to us. And it's not just for me as a preacher, a pastor. It's for all of us. It's amazing the insights God can give you. It was interesting. Got a text one day this week that says, left you a little gift outside the church. No name with it. So I rode down here and see, over here under this little doorstep was this little package. And in the package was a couple of different translations of 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. And so I sat down and went to reading through one of them, and I thought, that'd make a good sermon. All of a sudden, the Lord just opened several thoughts in my mind. And what he does for me, he can do for you. The Simeon and Anna walked in to the temple grounds, and there was a baby. And the Holy Spirit revealed to them, not only is this just a normal baby, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. You only got saved when the Holy Spirit opened your mind and your heart that Jesus was the Savior. Paul so often writes about the Jews whose minds were still blind to the truth. And there are people even today whose minds are blind to the truth. Blind to the truth. We get saved when the Holy Spirit opens our mind and our heart and says, Jesus is Savior. And it doesn't matter whether you're a 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 year old. Or a 25, or a 75, or a 95. It takes the Holy Spirit opening the door to reveal to you who Jesus is. But the Lord doesn't want to stop there. That's the point I want us to understand. He doesn't just want us to reveal to us who Jesus is for our Savior. He wants to bless you in so many ways, to give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, an understanding. And I can think of so many illustrations. One I know I read years ago, and I think I probably shared it here. Said there was a farmer out in the Midwest, and because of the lack of rainfall, most everybody grew wheat every year. But ever so often, the Lord would say to him, grow corn. And he would grow corn. Everybody else growing wheat, he'd grow corn. They'd laugh at him. But it rained enough that year for corn to grow and he'd make big money. Because he had corn and everybody else had wheat. Well, the next year, the Lord said, go back to wheat. Everybody else going to go. Said, well, he made so much money last year, I'm going to grow corn. And it wouldn't rain enough for their corn. You see, he was following the leadership, the wisdom of the Spirit of God. And when he did that, he prospered. You see, God cares. And God wants to reveal to you many, many things. Some of them spiritual. Some of them not so spiritual. I have a good pastor friend that pastors a lot bigger church than any I've ever pastored. And he said back, I forgot just which year it was, he had some extra money he was going to invest. He had a good Christian friend, and they came up with a portfolio of things that he should invest his money in. And He was just about to do it, and the Holy Spirit said, no. And so he kept his money in the under the bed, I guess, or wherever he had it. The stock market went in the next few months, and he lost most of his money. Best advice from a good broker, but he'd have lost it all if the Holy Spirit hadn't given him some wisdom. You see, God loves you. And God doesn't want you walking through life in the darkness. God doesn't want you walking through life with the frost over your windshield. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal wisdom to you, just as he did to Simeon and Anna. Some things spiritual, some things not spiritual. And that's good news. That's good news. It's just a matter of, are we open? Jesus so many times said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are we willing to listen to the Spirit of God? Are we willing to open ourselves up and say, Lord, just reveal your will to me? And the more we focus on the Lord, the more our thoughts are of him, the more we open ourselves up to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, the more God will just bless you with his revelation. And others will be amazed. How did you know to do that? How did you know not to do that? How did you know to go there? How did you know to take that route instead of this route? They'll be amazed how blessed you are. You know, as a parent, we like to give good advice to our kids, to help them, to bless them, to keep them out of trouble. Do you think God loves you any less? No, God loves you just as much and more. So open your mind, open your heart. Focus on Jesus. Listen for the voice of the Spirit, and you will be blessed. As we have a time of invitation, if there's someone that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's someone that needs to come to the altar and pray, and you've got something you want to share with me, would you come? bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.